Why is President Donald Trump campaigning so much this close to the election? Some say this might mean he's behind in the polls.
Also, who won last Thursday's presidential debate?
All that and more, only on this episode of the Midday Mumbles podcast. Welcome back to episode 50, the big 5-0.
The big 5-0.
So to celebrate occasion.
You're Gage, I'm Isaac.
I'm Gage.
I'm Isaac.
This is the big 5-0. And I thought I'm going to do something a little different tonight. As you can see, I got my cigar jacket on.
Gage is going to make his office reek of cigars. One of the people like me, you don't love the smell of a cigar. And Gage is about to destroy his jacket, destroy his shirt, destroy his pants, destroy those headphones, destroy his seat. You know, he's about to wreck everything in that room and make it always smell like cigars. So that one day in the future, when it finds itself in a thrift shop, someone will go through there and be like, ah, this smells like cigars. And you can see now, Gage Cam, he is using a specialty match. Isn't that a specialty match, or is that just a...
Specialty match.
Specialty match. You got to have the best.
Well, no, this is what you call a cigar match. I feel like Dennis Prager right now. This is a Dennis Prager moment. But
does Dennis Prager use... Like, does he smoke cigars in his videos? I only ever see the short ones where it's like... Like a 5-minute clip and it's all animated.
He does. He's a gentleman like me. This is a Gurkha crest, right? This isn't like an expensive cigar stick. I mean, this will probably set you back $10, which is, you know, it's a pretty. I'm doing cigar reviews. It's a pretty decent cigar. So we're gonna smoke this while doing this episode. So don't mind me. Let's get into episode 50. So I don't know, you know, obviously the election's coming up and there's some huge stuff going on. But obviously you have the debate. We didn't have the second debate that was actually a town hall. And, you know, now we have this final debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And I gotta say, I don't know what I was expecting for this, but it was a showdown.
It was definitely tense, but I don't think it was that exciting to watch. It was kind of the same questions, the same thing as the first debate. It kind of felt the same thing, but there was no interrupting, which was really good. That's really big. No, they didn't really interrupt each other ever. And the moderator had, I think, mute buttons or something like that.
They had mute buttons, but the studio had the mute buttons. It wasn't the moderator. And it was like you had your uninterrupted 2 minutes, which between that, if the other candidate would become muted. But then they had these like sections where you could talk to the other person, interrupt them as much as you wanted.
In the response stage, they could kind of interrupt each other, and they did. But I would say as far as who won, I would think Trump probably every time. I mean, you can really tell who wins these. It's kind of going to be Trump every time because Joe Biden just doesn't have the same.
Well, we are biased.
We are biased. We're very biased. Don't listen to us. So if you're finding your final decision, I mean, I'd be honored. But, I like Trump.
I think we're great at making your decision. Like, listen, who wouldn't want to take advice from someone smoking a cigar? Like, how badass is this?
I would not take advice from someone smoking a cigar.
Isaac right
now is
smoking it.
I'm probably going to stop. I'm about to, like... Stop listening to anything you have to say. You know, that's just how it goes.
Isaac is smoking it. I have this up to his mouth on my monitor. How do you like the taste, Isaac?
Tastes bad. Tastes like smoke. But yeah, I would say Trump won for a couple of distinct reasons. Trump is just generally better spoken. He's more smooth. He's more fluid.
Biden, Trump is a good debater. Trump is good at pulling your pants down in front of everyone. Trump is really good at that. He's good at telling you that you're wrong. And
who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages, Joe?
Right. Listen, there's a lot of, and I can't believe I'm saying this. The election is next Tuesday, mind you. This comes out on Monday. And the election's next Tuesday. There are still a lot of undecided voters. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are a lot of the, they call them the silent majority. They just don't, they don't do the polls. They don't talk on social media. So it gives, you know, the aspect of, oh, well, Biden and Harris are winning. It was like what happened in 2016. The silent majority, took over. But, you know, this year I'm a little nervous because I'm not going to lie to you. There is a lot of reasons not to vote for Trump. And there's a lot of reasons to vote for Trump.
Well, what would be some of the reasons to not vote for Trump? I honestly can't think of that many besides fear of him being a racist.
No, no, no. This is the biggest thing, Isaac. Donald Trump made a lot of promises in 2016. One of the biggest things was he's going to drain the swamp, lock Hillary up. You know, a lot of these things. And to an extent, you know, he's done what he can to drain the swamp. He's done what he can. I mean, he actually, as soon as he won the election, he said he's not going after Hillary Clinton, which I know pissed a lot of voters off. Because these are the criminals in Washington. We the American people want to see these people behind bars.
We want to see justice served for their misbehaving, because it's bad. They're doing serious crime.
And I see a reason why people wouldn't want to vote for Trump. And that's because this year alone, with all of the all of the riots, all of the vandalism, that has a lot of people uneasy. Because, I mean, in America, when the commander-in-chief, and I get it, he's doing what he can. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say everyone's on Trump's side, because he has a lot of pushback in Washington. Mm-hmm. But to a voter standpoint, say in New Hampshire or in northern Maine, they're going to look at it like, this guy's a commander-in-chief. And America looks like a third world country. It looks like riots in Argentina.
People in northern Maine, people in like Detroit, where there's, I mean, Austin, Texas, you know, the cities where the riots go on. Those are the people that are going to look. And if they're a conservative voter, they're going to be afraid because they see everything devolving into madness. They see the problems. I mean, and I don't obviously voting for a Democrat when all these rioters are Democratic kind of seems like bad idea.
Yeah, but in the thing is, though, Isaac, and you said that, these people in northern Maine, they see it on the news. They see the social, they see the social.
But our communities are fine. Our communities are fine. It's not like we've had any riots.
I think you'll find, though, that someone watching on the news, this place was destroyed by rioters. This Wendy's was blown up. Even though it doesn't affect us, people still see it exists. And I think you'll find that there are going to be a lot of people that voted for him in 2016.
I'm sure there's going to be people that vote for Biden out of fear and out of desire for things to kind of stabilize, maybe.
Right.
But that's not the case. That's never going to be the case. If you have a problem and you have someone who's trying to fight that problem, but when he fights the problem, it gets the problem kind of a little, you notice it more. You know, just choosing to look away from the problem, vote for Biden because you know they're gonna settle down. It's just letting it build worse in the background, getting us farther and farther and farther and farther from being a true America anymore. We're losing our rights that have been clearly set out in the Constitution. The gun rights are so stupid. If you ever look into California, what is it? California compliant firearms. If you want a clear violation of the Second Amendment, California compliant firearms are the stupidest things. The stupidest rules. And, like, our freedom of speech, the social media. And this is something that's coming out now. That I don't know where it is at now, but I know last week it was starting to become a bigger story that social media was tampering with what was showing up. And that was actual news at that point. It wasn't just something that people were questioning or aware of. It was actual news at that point. And that's a really big deal. We're getting very far from having our freedoms anymore.
No, we are. But Isaac, to add to what I was saying, I think we're going to find, and I know this for a fact, a lot of conservatives, a lot of people that vote for Republicans tend to be older. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of these older people who, okay, for instance, I went to Portland last night and I was in a Longhorns and there were these younger, this guy, he must have been in his 30s. And he comes in and they're like, oh, you got to wear a mask. And he's like, oh, this goddamn fake Trump COVID, you know, whatever, Trump 2024 more. You know, he was going on and on and on. But, you know, he's younger, right? A majority of conservative voters tend to be older. And you see these people.
Well,
you know,
like Gen Zers, I think, are a lot of, or not Gen Z. I mean, like millennials. I think millennials are very, very, very Democratic. I think Gen Z is kind of a mixed bag, which is, we're Gen Z. Well,
Are we Gen Z?
I think so.
Yeah, we just met the cutoff for millennials.
Yeah.
<We're>, thank God.
We're like Gen Z by this much.
But
I think millennials, what is that year 2000 that millennials get cut off?
I think millennials get cut off in 99.
Yeah.
I think or 98. I think Brody just missed the cutoff by like a year. But no, what I was saying though is older people, like I'm talking 60s, 70s, and 80s, they've watched the same news station for 35 years. They're only getting fed the bad stuff that CNN is pushing out or, you know, these news cycles. And they, you know, they're older. They've lived their life. They don't want to see America in such terrible conditions. So they might say, I would rather vote for, you know, someone who is going to put the normalcy back in place. Right. And I would hate to see it, but you don't, I mean, I haven't really met too many older people. Like I'm talking in their 70s or 80s that are like all into this internet stuff. It's like, oh, it's the China virus. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They may, but there aren't that many people.
There's exceptions to any rule, but generally speaking, I mean, I think a lot of the older people that are pro-Trump are going to be kind of out of... they're not going to be in all of it. They're not going to be on the internet as much. They're not going
to... Yeah, they're not going to be on the internet.
If they even know how to run a computer to get to the internet.
And if they were on the internet, they would be looking at what Yahoo is feeding them or, you know, whatever. I know old people.
If you put my grandmother in front of a computer and told her to look something up, she would not know how to do it. She would not know how to find the news.
That's the thing. I mean, for a lot of these older people, which are the majority of conservative voters, I feel like they're going to be going off from what the news is saying. They're going to say, oh, well,
TV.
There's these riots and America is like in this terrible state and I don't want this to be for my grandchildren. You know what I mean? That's how a lot of people think. They think, oh, their kids or their grandchildren, you know, what are they going to do? And you just don't have a lot of older people that have that fight left in them. There are some, but there just aren't that many that are like, oh, we're going to drain this. Yeah, it sounds good. And I think in 2016, Trump ran on something that really mattered to a lot of people. Draining the swamp.
No, and I think he's done as good of a job as can be expected. Actually, I'd say he did a better job than I would have expected. When Trump was running initially, like no one, not a single person expected Trump to win the election.
And I remember that.
I mean, he was just a goof. Like he's some businessman. He just spouts stuff out. He has a crazy Twitter page. I mean, people saw this guy as a clown and he gets into office and he gets to work.
He's not presidential. And that's something a lot of people say, he's not presidential. You know, he you'll see these, a lot of these older people, and they're like, oh, Ronald Reagan and George Bush and George Bush Sr. I mean, you know, they're presidential. And Trump, obviously he's an outsider, but rather than being a gentleman, so to say, and I know that this doesn't appeal to a lot of older people, he's bullish. He attacks the establishment right into their neck. You know, he's like, I mean,
there's no better example than that, than him going off the 60 Minutes. I mean, he just says it to the woman. He just says what he's thinking to the woman. And he's upset, and he says, I think I've had enough of an interview here. And then he leaves.
But there's a lot of Americans that don't think that that's appropriate behavior for a commander-in-chief.
I mean, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's a good thing to be destabilizing this norm, because this norm is bad. This norm is bad. So, yes, things that are out of the norm are scary. Things that are different are scary. But we need that. We're in dire need of that. And I think a lot of people still realize that. And I think a lot of people see a lot of the good that Trump has done, because he's been working hard. He's gotten a lot of things done. Sure. Is the wall 100% done? No, but he did work on it. It's not like he didn't do that. That's not something that gets really talked about, but he was working on the wall.
He said today they do 10 miles per week, which I think is actually pretty impressive, if you ask me. And you got to remember, he couldn't do this without Congress's approval, right? He couldn't spend the billions and billions of dollars. And we knew that electing him.
Everything needs Congress's approval. He's just the president. He can bring things through.
He's just the president.
He brings things through. He inspires things. He talks about things. He negotiates. But he doesn't really... He can't force a bill. He can't force something unless he uses his...
executive.
He can do some stuff with executive orders, but he doesn't like to abuse that. Obama loved to abuse executive orders.
You sound like a fucking Trump ad. Obama, abused his executive.
Trump good.
Obama went golfing 28 times in March of 2015. Trump only went 2 times.
It's gonna end with the whoosh, and then you have all the stars go whoosh, 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 with the Trump Pence on it. You know the ad ending that I'm talking about.
I don't know. I like Trump's advertising. I think it's clever, but
it's good advertising. I mean, it's different advertising. It's different, but it's good.
So to go back to the debate topic, some of the biggest things, obviously, that he blew the case. I mean, I think he really blew up a lot of things, and I think Biden slipped. One of the biggest things was
Biden got handed softball questions and he didn't even answer them. I mean, he made one major slip up, though. He confirmed that, yes, he is going to phase out fossil fuels.
Right.
Good luck, Pennsylvania. I wonder how you'll be voting.
It's going to, you know... I know it sounds good to these Democrats that, oh, we're going to phase out this gasoline, these fossil fuels. But the truth is, a majority of America uses this stuff. And I know we touched on this a little bit last time.
We need it.
Exactly. You can't just say, I'm running to do away with all this shit. Because not only is this millions of jobs, but this is people drive these vehicles that require this. You know, people heat their homes. You know, use your brain. I hate to say it because these are adults. But come on.
Things need to be done very gradually, especially with government. You can't just make any sudden... That's too expensive. We don't have that finances. We don't have the money, Democrats.
But you also can't expect people to go out and buy electric cars. You know, in California, they were doing these like... 6,000, like they were doing incentives. They were practically giving the cars away. Just because you do that doesn't mean people are going to want them. What are you going to say? Well, I mean,
if I was going to buy a new car and you're going to take a couple thousand bucks off of it,
I think it was like a $12,000 incentive or something.
Yeah, that's probably enough that it would get me if there were places to charge it. I would do that.
That's the biggest. I don't know. I don't think there are many expensive. People that would do that. I don't that's think there's many people the that would do that, though. Because people love their trucks. People love their cars.
Well,
people love their gasoline vehicles.
It depends on the area. California, everyone, you know, I mean, well, California's very different depending on where you are. But the cities in California and the majorly populated areas in California, right. It's a city. There's probably charging stations everywhere. You can go to the restaurant and there's probably a Tesla charging station. Like, right. And what are you going to go? 10 miles tops? Like, it's different.
You're never going to get that infrastructure in these countryside.
We hardly have internet in Maine. You expect we're going to get
not just
charging
Maine.
Charging stations?
Go down south. I'm talking most of Texas, you know, the Dakotas, you know, the Utah. These are states in the heartland of America. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're desert. They're woodlands. You're not, it's like going up in Jackman, for Christ's sakes, in a lot of these places. They're not going to have the infrastructure to do this. Maybe in New York City, maybe in Los Angeles and San Francisco, you can enforce this stuff. But you can't say, hey, America, you know, hey, Michigan, you're going to have to drive electric because there's no infrastructure for that. We would have to tear down all everything. We'd have to build like a giant city metropolis. Like, I'm being serious. There's no way. You know, what are you going to, like, you drive for hours and hours. And I could drive 300 miles in Maine. That's the max that a Tesla has. Easily. Are they going to have charging stations every 5 miles?
I'm trying to think. I mean, you could. I don't think you'd ever really have a scenario where you couldn't. No, I think I've been on trips that are in the state of Maine that are over 300 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's say you started down in Portland and you went up to Jackman, the Canadian border. That's, I think, like 250 miles.
Don't know.
That's longer. Holy shit. Hold on. I'm going to do some Google Maps here. This. Because I'm actually interested to know. So let's say we started maps directions. So let's say
I'm going to start at my house and do a trip that I would reasonably do.
Well, I'm going to say, let's say Portland, Maine, right? We're going to start off in Portland, Maine. Because, like, you know, and then we're going to go Jackman, Maine. Okay, that's around 175 miles. Okay, so let's say we want to go up to Allegash. Let's go up to Allegash.
Okay, so in a trip that I've recently done myself, I drove down to Scarborough to buy firearms, and that was 118 miles. So that both ways, because it was pretty much mostly driving. 236 miles. So you're starting to get close. And I mean that wasn't the longest trip I've ever been on. Not by any stretch of anything. I mean, you, when you live in a rural area, you drive far. And I mean, to be fair to Biden, I think he said I think I heard 2050 being thrown around. But also, you're a president. You can't really control what happens after you're out of office. A plan for 2050 isn't necessarily going to be executed.
Let me just say this, Isaac. Let's say you started off in Allegash, Maine, which is at the top of the state, near New Brunswick in Quebec City. And you drove down to Saka. That's 357 miles. Now, let me say this for an example. One of our biggest industries in Maine is trucking. And you have a lot of trucks that drive from Canada.
Well, there's trucks that go on the road near my house. I mean, not the road that my house is on, but like the road my road is connected to.
Up to Kingfield.
There is constant trucks going to the Canadian border and back.
Oh, yeah. So my question for that, and I know Tesla's working on these giant 18-wheeler electric 18-wheelers, but
I mean, they have some impressive figures on those things. They can charge real quick.
How realistic is it, though? You know, and are people going to want to give up their Cummins? And I'm being funny here.
Well, in this area, no.
No.
People like their loud, obnoxious engines so that they can go do burnouts in front of their house and spend lots of money on tires because people are dumb around here.
I'm going to add this in. My cigar, I apologize. This cigar isn't burning well. It's like, if you see here, it's kind of like split. And
oh,
this
wow.
part needs to be at, yeah, I don't know why it's doing that, but I guess weird. Smoke more on this half. But continue. Yeah.
If anyone knows how to, 50. If anyone knows how to stop gauge your cigars from smoking off to one side, Please tell him in the comments. He'd be very appreciative to have a cigar conversation with you. And people want to burn tires around here. And people like loud engines. And people, yeah. I mean, it's a cultural thing. Some people like that.
It's true.
And they're not going to want to give it up. And
no
why should you? Why should you have to?
I mean, this is a free country. You should be able to do anything you want, really.
There are better ways to reduce carbon emissions besides just cutting things off. I mean, I can agree that we obviously use a lot of fossil fuels, and for one reason or another, yep. that couldn't be a bad thing. We only have so much of it. It's a limited supply, so we do have to be careful with it to some degree and it could harm the environment, and we need to be careful with it in that sense.
But statistically speaking, Isaac, and I just want to put this out there for you, Isaac, because I think this is interesting. We as a nation burn the least carbon emissions because of all the regulation, right? You've had these past few administrations with the global warming, you had Dick Cheney, you had all these, I forget his name. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You had all these movements over the years. We barely burn any carbon emissions. I think statistically speaking, we're like negative 10. And you've got China and India, the manufacturing places. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. And I said this last time. If you want to, you know, have zero carbon emissions, that's the goal for Democrats. By 2030, we're going to have to reverse everything because factories, I mean, I don't know about you, Isaac, but mills, paper mills, you know, you're going to have, it's just not going to work. Plastic factories where they manufacture plastic, it's not going to work. I mean, why are we living in a world where we're so why can't we have plastic straws? You know, I just don't feel like we'd be living in a free country if plastic straws were banned or the plastic Hannaford
bags.
Everything
has to be paper straws. You know, paper, I believe paper is actually more damaging to produce because it's a lot of a harder material
to
work
mill?
With. And like,
go to Sappy. Honestly,
I've never in a paper mill, but I understand the process is very complicated.
If I were to say, I would say that paper is probably one of the most negative affecting manufacturing plants that is common in New England or even in the United States. But a lot of them are going overseas.
Maine at one point was a very big paper producer, but we're starting to lose that.
Well, because the problem is, you have these big companies like Madison Paper, for instance. Mm-hmm. UPM came in. They're a foreign company from like, I think, Sweden or something. And they got bought out. They bought a bunch of mills in Maine. They shut them down because they started manufacturing the stuff overseas. So, I mean, and Governor LePage talked a little bit on that. It's a shame because, I mean, that is Maine's industry. But at the same time, I don't know. I think it's unrealistic to say to expect Americans to change their way of life for something that's going to happen to the environment over the course of, say, 50 to 100 more years or even longer. I mean, honestly, there was this document that I found. Someone has sent it to me with a list of all the scares over the years. Like in 1970, they were saying the ice is going to be melted within 5 years. Experts were saying that. 5 years. It's what, been 40 years since the 1970s. The, you know, ice is still, the Arctic is still frozen.
I think,
you know,
I think we're getting, I think we're getting some of the ice back right now.
Right.
Aren't we? I don't know. That was maybe that's old news. Maybe it's changed now. But I think at one point we were gaining ice.
Someone, my dad likes to say this. He likes to say history repeats itself, because if you look at like history, weather charts, you know, you ever listen to the radio and they'll say, oh, you know, welcome, it's August 17th. And, you know, the hottest day on record was in 1802 or something. And, you know, actually, there was this statistic I found a while ago, like 2 weeks ago. I shared it with some friends. And it was saying that we actually, I think in like 1600 was the hottest century on history. And it showed a chart of the heat compared now. And we are like a quarter of that. You know, they survived in the 1600s. I don't understand why it's such a...
I mean, the environment is a weird thing, and it's very possible we don't understand it. It's not like... They push it like it's very, very dire. Very dire. It's so dire. It's so dire. Is it? I mean, well, maybe it's important to start moving in that direction, but you can't just... You can't drop everything. You can't drop everything. You can't destroy everything in the pursuit of saving a couple degrees and maybe a little bit of ice and the polar bears. Polar bears, if polar bears have to go to keep the world's economy
polar
intact,
bears have to go.
Then polar bears have to go. I mean, I understand it's very damaging. I understand there's bad effects. I really do. I've you know, looked into this stuff quite a bit.
Would you agree with the statement, Isaac, that so conservatives are the ones that really are we're basically the only people that really think that global warming, some of us think it's a hoax, others think it's not as big of a deal.
I don't think it's a hoax, but I don't think it's major. I don't think what I was asking you critical.
Is would you say this is a correct statement? Conservatives are the ones that think that global warming isn't that big of a deal, or it's a hoax.
I would say that's pretty accurate.
Okay. Well, and I'll tell you why I think that is, because when you have a century on record, or half a century from like the 1950s, this is the document I read, and it's happened before that. You have these corrupt politicians, and they're like, yeah, this is going to happen by this year, or, you know, this is going to happen within 10 years. Nothing has ever happened. And you start to think, well, this something's wrong here. You know, the polar bears are supposed to be dead by 1942. What's happening? Or, you know, the planet was supposed to be blown up by 2000. These scientists, these experts, quote unquote experts, have been wrong so many times. Why are we being laughed at when we don't believe them? Because they've been wrong every time. I mean, I think that us as conservatives, we have a right to be like, well, I mean, you know, you've been saying this for half a century now and nothing's happened, right? I mean, am I right to say that, Isaac?
I mean, yeah, I'd say so. I'm sorry. I'm doing some last minute, a little bit of research.
No, this is interesting. You know, I love learning about this global warming thing because, you know, I think we need, obviously, you know, you got the Greta Thunbergs of the world, and they think, oh, you know, they think that the, you know, we're just so bad because we drive our trucks and we drive these gasoline vehicles and we're not driving these little tiny cars to save the environment.
Everyone is mandatory smart cars by year 2024.
Mandatory smart cars. Imagine that. Oh my God. I don't think anyone would go for that.
No. No, of course not. Everyone besides would Greta Thunberg.
Like, what are you gonna put a gun to my head? You know? I tried to straighten out my cigar by cutting off the ash and I fucked it up.
I'm just trying to find some statistics here, but it's hard to get Google to exactly it's because I'm using Google. That's probably why.
I've been using a lot more DuckDuckGo now because
I pretty much strictly use DuckDuckGo. I don't know why I clicked on Google to make these searches. Shout out to DuckDuckGo. You're the real search engine. You're the... and in case anyone was wondering, I think DuckDuckGo is an extension on Chrome.
Yeah, but it's
I
not
use
as...
it. If you get Firefox, you can just have your search engine be DuckDuckGo. You can go in the settings and you can.
I hate DuckDuckGo for one reason, because it's not a web browser.
If you get Firefox, it is. My Firefox is it searches with DuckDuckGo. Like, I don't have to do anything special or anything. It will default search with Chrome, and you can switch it to be searching with Bing or with DuckDuckGo or, I think, a couple others.
Listen, guys, this is the first time I've smoked a cigar on the podcast, so I'm sorry that this is such a weak smoke. But, I like DuckDuckGo only because... You know, they don't collect the data, which means that they have unbiased searches. I think it's a very...
Everything is... It's made to be kind of doesn't track you and doesn't filter your results.
It's a standard search index, okay? There's no... They do have recommendations, but they show you what you're looking for.
They do filter it. Like, there is, like, safe search. It's not like... If there wasn't safe search, whenever you search anything, you just get some weird taboo porn for it. Because that's what, like... So much of the internet is. You'd be looking up, like, Germany's power emission, or, like, Germany's CO2 emissions, and it would be, like, power plant porn, because the internet is weird. What's wrong with you guys?
Nuclear power plants.
Get off this video right now and go clear your search history, you dirty weirdos.
No, you'd have you'd have nuclear power plants having sexual relations with solar power.
Oh yeah, you'd get something so weird.
Be lucky I'm not a pothead, okay, guys? Like Isaac, I've never understood Isaac because he's like, you smoke cigars, you're such a bad person. But like, at least I'm not smoking a joint. Like, imagine if I just was like, oh, bro, I'm going to get high all the time.
That's a gray area. I don't really support smoking anything, but...
Not to get off track, but I have more of a libertarian view on drugs. I think personally, obviously, I don't want to do drugs myself, and I don't encourage drugs, and I think it's terrible when it gets into the school systems. But I don't think that they should be illegal. Like, yeah, heroin, higher-end stuff, yeah, maybe, but I just don't think it's the government's place to do that, to regulate you know?
But people, it's like the question of seatbelts. Do you want people to have the freedom to hurt themselves? Or do you step in and try to prevent people from hurting themselves?
Okay, Isaac. So this is we could use this with the gun debate as well. So gun. Well, okay. So the libertarian view with guns as well is allow them all. Anyone should be able to own any gun. Fully automatic.
Right. I'm an A10 Warthog.
I'm for
you're
that.
Invading my freedoms.
Yeah, someone gets on your lawn and you just go. But
someone steps a foot on my lawn and you hear that baby spin right up. I'm flying overhead and you hear the A10. you hear them all explode and then the gun.
I get what you're saying though, Isaac, with drugs, because drugs, I mean, someone could take heroin or get high and get in a car accident and kill a family of four. But I mean, the same thing could happen with someone with a gun, right? So I just don't think it's fair to say, for one thing, oh, this needs to be legal. And then for the other thing, say, oh, I'm not saying I'm for heroin. And I'm not saying I'm for cocaine or drugs in general, because I am 100% against it. But I just don't think it's the government's duty to say it's legal to do this stuff. I think the government should be involved with making sure it stays out of the...
Well,
the education system.
One way I've heard it put, and I don't know who this was from. I don't remember who it was from, but it was your freedoms end where others begin, sort of deal. Meaning that you have the right to do whatever you want, mm-hmm. unless that right to do something. You don't have the right to do something that's inhibiting someone else.
Right.
Someone else's right. So you can't kill people because people have the right to be alive.
people have the right to be alive.
You know?
Yeah. I was going to make a joke there. Healthcare is not a... healthcare is not a... what do they say? It's not a... a privilege. It's a human right.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. People have the right to live. That is a privilege. It's a privilege to live.
The people that say healthcare is a human right, it should be a human right. I don't think they realize how insurance works and how
capitalism works.
Because
I don't think they have an understanding on capitalism.
I don't think people realize that healthcare is expensive. It's expensive to have a doctor
personally
attending to you. There's lots of reasons. I understand there's lots of reasons. There's reasons why private hospitals are a lot cheaper than public and there's all sorts of things.
Let me give you the two main reasons why healthcare is so expensive. Number one, actually getting hospitals. I like to say it's this little game of cat and mouse. Mm-hmm. You got the hospitals that charge outrageous prices for a procedure, and the insurance company pays it, right? But it's extremely high. And so doctors, for instance, you want to become a doctor, you're spending probably at least 10 years of your life going to school. You're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to actually go to school for something like that. And doctors, surgeons are the highest paid, I think. They mm-hmm. make hundreds of thousands every year because really it's a lot of commitment. You know, that's their life. You know, they're spending a decade learning.
Well, you have to spend tons of money, get lots of schooling, go through the hell of schooling, and then you have to pay back all of that debt because school is expensive. I would know. I'm in college right now. I hate it.
my point is, though, you have the argument here where if doctors weren't paid well, there wouldn't be doctors.
Right.
No one is going to put that much effort into schooling. Same with lawyers.
Right. They absolutely deserve.
If attorneys didn't get paid top dollar, there'd be no attorneys.
People don't undergo hard things unless there's big incentives. If you paid a doctor the same amount as a Wendy's employee, then everyone would work at Wendy's and no one would be a doctor.
So I'm not saying the outrageous prices in the medical field is justified, but I'm explaining why it's that high. Now, how do we solve something like this? Honestly, I think the only way to solve something like this is, honestly, I'm undecided because you've got this healthcare and actually we're still in the conversation about the debate.
yeah, that's true.
healthcare is one of those things, like Obamacare, doing away with private insurance, right? You know, when you get insurance, you know, people, they'll get their get good jobs. My dad, for instance, he has amazing health insurance. He gets dental, everything from where he works. And there's a lot of people, a lot of jobs you can go pursue. Engineering. Isaac is in the engineering field right now. When he gets a good job, when he graduates, he's going to get good insurance benefits. Okay. That's something. Isaac is not only going to get a salary of an engineer, which is going to be six figures easily, 100,000 plus, but he's also going to get probably $60,000 a year in health benefits because that's how expensive it is.
Sure.
So what I have to say is I think we need to get more people in positions like this, engineering,
where they have
get more
money.
People to graduate, where they not only have money, but where they get the health benefits through their employers. Because, and this was something Trump had said, and I believe in it wholeheartedly. I actually, growing up, wanted to be an engineer, believe it or not. I wanted to go into the computer engineering program. I wanted to learn computer. I wanted to learn programming. I wanted to learn all of the bits and bobs for that. Not because of the money, because it interests me at the time. And one of the things that Trump had said was that in China, they graduate 300,000 engineers a year. In the United States, we graduate 60,000 engineers a year. You know, we need to be doing our part to get more and more people into these programs. Humans aren't dumb. I mean, there's a ton of people that we graduated with, Isaac, at our school that have the potential to make of money.
I can think of several names of people who are really smart people, who are super smart people and super capable. You could explain things to them that would go over the majority of people's heads, and they would have no idea how to understand it, and they just, it clicks to them, right? Smart people, and they settle for terrible jobs, low-paying jobs that suck because they're not, you know, what? However, whatever the reason is, it's a weird thing.
Well, I'll tell you why. Not only is it people can't afford to go to school, but teachers don't do a good enough job inspiring these kids to pursue better things. Like, there's a lot of people in my class, especially, that are freaking talented, but they come from poor families and they didn't do well in school and they cannot afford to go to college. They're not going to get the scholarships.
Well,
there's
a lot of money there. There's a lot of funding for poor people. I mean, right now, my college education is like, well, yeah, that's the thing.
That's
you have to maintain fantastic grades, and that is
the problem.
Brutal.
Is, and I know on the podcast I say pretty dumb things sometimes, and I know I have this like comedy persona. I love to make people laugh. If that makes me, if that means I make myself look like a dumbass, that's what I'm gonna do, because I love that. So I love seeing people. That's why I like the. I consider myself more into like film. That's what I wanted to pursue was film after engineering. But you have a lot of these kids, a lot of these students that, and I'll give you an example. I went to school and I'm extremely intelligent when it comes to stuff I want to learn about business. I excelled in my business courses my senior year. I took so many online business courses my senior year and I excelled because I was into that. There are a lot of different people that learn differently. Isaac loves to be in class. He loves to be at a lecture. He loves to get his book and he loves to read it.
No. That's not true at all, Gage. That is the farthest thing from the truth. But anyways,
you don't love it, but that's how you learn.
For example, let's say I'm that kind of person. I'm not, but let's just say it.
No, but you learn well in class.
I learn well from lectures and working with teachers and working with people.
For the people that don't know Isaac that well, he didn't go to college campus this year because of coronavirus. He decided to stay home. So he's doing all his classes online. He hates his life. Okay.
Oh, it's terrible. Because I can't stand school.
you don't do well learning at home on your computer, do you?
No. And I don't do well with textbooks. I do terrible with reading and terrible with kind of self-motivating. So there's a lot of things there right, that I'm really not great at. I do really well in person interacting with people. That's where I best learn.
You've spent most of your life being an introvert, but you're really an extrovert.
I would say the opposite.
So you think you're an introvert, but you've been an extrovert socially?
Am I an introvert? I don't know, but I don't think I'm an extrovert. I'm in a gray area for that.
I think you do a good job, Isaac, talking to new people and finding an interest, a common interest. You do a really good job doing that. I know personally, I mean, When I first met you, I've known Isaac for years, but we only recently, well, within the past 3 years started hanging out. 2 years, 3 years. I think, yeah, it's been around, you know, it doesn't matter. I think we started late junior. Doesn't matter when we started hanging out. Isaac and I related.
It was my junior year, your senior year.
But Isaac and I found a common ground because we both loved Linus Tech Tips. We both loved talking about computer stuff. No, I'm being serious. We both love talking about computer stuff. You're the hardware guy. I'm the software guy. I love learning, you know, Windows stuff. And it's funny because Isaac and I will talk. Isaac has no idea how to do half the things on Windows. I have no idea how to build a computer. He knows how to build a computer. So, like, we help each other out sometimes. We're like, Isaac has a problem with his computer. Like, there was this one time I think his sister was doing something with recording in OBS.
Oh, yeah.
He called me up. He's like, how do I do this? And I walked him through it. And he built my PC. So, I guess we're even. But, no. Where are we going with this? I think... With learning.
Yeah.
People learn differently, right? People learn differently. I in school was never. I don't like lectures, and I don't like being reading books. I like reading, but I like reading what I want to learn about. I like learning what interests me, and I think for the stuff that's like important, math, for instance, teachers need to do a better job of making students want to learn that. They need to make it interesting for the students.
Well, and, I don't know if you could ever really make math interesting. It's just kind of one of those things. School math, I mean, unless you're in like algebra.
I would have excelled at math if they were teaching us, you know, since I'm a computer guy. I would have loved to learn how it relates to computer programming. You know, I think that would have been a tool for me, a resource.
I mean, I guess.
Okay, what I'm saying with this whole thing, the education system, and this goes back to the getting better jobs and everything. You know, we have, we live in a society right now in the United States where I feel like the education system is on the back of the burner. No one really touches it. It's there. And no one, like, it's almost like the Democrats and the Republicans, it's like, you know, you play, you ever, what is that game? Hide and seek? No, not hide and seek. A tag. Tag, you're it. It's like the Republicans are like, Democrats, tag, you're it. You can deal with the education system. Then you got Michelle Obama saying that fucking ketchup's a vegetable.
No. She was saying ketchup's not a vegetable. I think it was like...
No, it's classified as a vegetable.
No.
Yes, because our school followed that regulation and they would give us ketchup and say it was a vegetable. So like, remember when they did like the hot dog days and they wouldn't have any vegetables out there because ketchup was on the hot dogs. I shit you not. So, I don't know.
I mean, the school lunch that Karabek gave was like, there's no way I would ever eat it. I'm a picky eater. That stuff was like hardly food.
But I think the last thing we need to worry about is school lunches. I'm saying we need to learn, we need to work more.
I think there's a lot of things that absorb a lot of money in school systems that are not super important. Like sports. I mean, I get sports have a lot of motivation building things, and there's a lot of benefits to sports that I understand, but also school is about education, and I feel like putting sports with education, I feel like it's just a distraction, and it causes school systems, especially in rural areas, to be exorbitantly expensive to fund. Right. Karabek is so expensive to fund, and it's not a big school.
I think they get like they have a $10 million a year budget.
Our taxes are exorbitantly high for household taxes because
and they close
we have
the schools.
To because we have to pay so much money for Karabek to exist, and we're not in a town with Karabek. Karabek's in Anson. We're in New Portland. We have all of our people. We have our couple of kids go to Karabek.
About I think 13 years ago, Karabek had Garrett's Gank, CCS, Central School in New Portland.
Yeah, there was Central. I just barely didn't. Karabek I would have had like a year in Central when I was a kid.
And
but
Emden. Emden had its own school. They closed both Emden and Central down so that the money could go towards these other schools. So, in other words, the budget was so spread thinned. It was so thinly spread apart with these schools that they had to close two of them, laying off teachers to then afford to pay the, I don't know, 1,000 combined students in all these schools. So
what do you mean?
You know, the budget.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, Solon, if you considered Karabak, all the kids,
Garrett Skank, CHS. Yeah.
I mean, CHS is not 1,000 kids. I think it's like, it's a little above 300. I think it's a little above 300.
Right. When I was in school senior year, I think it was 400.
I think that was higher than whatever my senior year was then.
Well, my senior class was 20 kids. I hear these other schools that have these graduations.
Your senior class was only 20?
24, I think.
What?
Yeah, it was small.
Did everyone drop out like right before?
How many kids were in yours?
I think mine was like, it was mid 40s.
I think it was. I can go on senior year's yearbook and count them. Because I think it was around 24. Because we didn't have too many people at graduation on the podium. But to kind of end out this little piece that I was saying.
Before we change off of presidential debate, I do want to mention that I was looking up a little bit on CO2 emissions. And I pulled up some charts. I sent them to Gage so he can put them in the description or whatever. I don't deal with any of that stuff. Don't give me any credit for anything that's like editing or posting things. I'm just here for the microphone. So the United States per capita, according to Our World in Data. .org. Never heard of them. They're probably trustworthy. They're .org. we have, and I'm guessing this is tons, 16.56 tons of carbon emissions per capita. And then you compare that to a country like Germany. Germany is at 9.13 tons per capita. This is 2018 for all of them. And then France is at 5.2 tons per capita. So per capita, the United States is a lot higher than these other countries. And that is per capita. So that's not accounting. That is accounting for, or it's a fair comparison, even though the size is different. And what's interesting there, though, is if you look at France, and they're a lot lower than Germany is, and Germany's a lot lower than we are. Germany uses a lot of solar and wind power. They've been really pushing that. Solar and wind. They want that a lot. And their carbon emissions, while being better than the United States, it's a different landscape. The United States is really big, and we have a lot of rural areas, so that's probably the reason, just guessing. But Germany is a lot higher than France, almost double. And Germany pushes for wind and solar. And France is in, like, massively nuclear power. And so you're seeing here that pushing for these renewable sources of energy that are wind and solar, they don't get you that far. There's better sources. France is the example of that. I just wanted to put that out there. So Biden just closing down all of our oil, which is a stable form of power. There's also, you need to consider how power works. Solar, wind, they're very random. They're very sporadic. You can have a sunny day, you can have a dark day. You can have a windy day, you can not have a windy day.
You need a large infrastructure and to be consistent.
You can't have more power going out than can be consumed, because then you're going to wind up with blowing up your transfer boxes and you're blowing up people's lights in their houses and power surges and massive problems. And you can't have not enough power because blackouts and problems like that. And that's a very on the spot thing. That's a very, you need to have it adjusted and tuned to be what the people need. And solar and wind are very sporadic. There is no controlling how much power is going to be produced. And they take up huge swaths of land. So you have massive problems with the power grid with these things. Carbon emissions are bad, sure, but burning coal and burning oils and burning natural gas, there's a big advantage there in that you can take, just like on your stove, you can take the flame, you can bring it up, you can bring it down. You can fine-tune how much power you need to be made at any given time. So the power grid is a lot more stable and reliable. That's a really big deal. And the nuclear power, while it's not as tunable as carbon power, it's very stable. It produces this amount of power. All the time it's producing this amount of power. Besides,
is that an accurate description? This is the amount of power we generate. Not well, anymore.
It produces a lot of power per amount of land.
Right.
But,
per capita?
No, not per capita. What? How would per... Anyways.
I don't know. I want to use an intelligent word. You know, okay. I hear that all. It's a per capita. Okay.
So maybe 1 watt per one person or something like that. It has to do with balancing an amount of stuff or amount of things or amount of events with the amount of people in that country so that it's relative to one person. This is how much this happens in terms of this one person sort of deal.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it's 1,000 people. Maybe it's, you know, however, whatever. It's not necessarily one person, but it's making it more specific to the amount of people there. So as explaining nuclear power, it produces a very constant amount of power besides occasional times where maybe maintenance or, changing the fuel rods. But the problem here is that these green energy sources, and I'll call nuclear is a green energy source. It's not renewable, but it's green. It doesn't produce carbon. And it's very safe. They're not as controllable. They're not as, readily tunable. So you can never phase out all of carbon emissions. You cannot phase it out because you'll wind up destroying the entire power grid if you cannot control how much power goes. But you can replace you can realistically say they're not going to be drawing any less than this amount of power because, you know, people run lights and people run air conditioners and people. So there's at least a minimum amount of power that is ever going to be drawn. And you produce this much with nuclear, and then the rest is carbon emissions because you need to be able to tune that. And you can reduce your power that way, or maybe the rest is natural gas because natural gas is a lot less carbon emissions. There's a lot better ways to do it. Just saying, shut everything down, stop carbon emissions, stop fracking, stop... It's a very, very dangerous way of thinking because it's not very thought out. And that's a great definition of who Biden is as president and why you shouldn't vote for him, because he doesn't. There's no plans. That's not thought out. It's just buzzwords and vote for me because Trump right. is bad. He's. Yeah. Okay. There we go. Moving on.
To put it in the words of Paul Joseph Watson, orange man bad. Where I was going to kind of wrap that up with my education rant is, you know, there's a lot of things that our government should be improving upon. And I feel like that they're looking at the wrong things. And I think they're looking at the wrong solutions to solve problems. And we started the education rant talking about medicine and insurance and Obamacare, because
there's a lot of big problems.
There's a lot of problems, but there's a lot of easy solutions, and they're not easy solutions. That's going to take probably 20 years at least.
There's a lot of clear solutions. They're not easy, but they're very clear as to they're the right answer.
You know, I want to say this. I'm obviously, I think you've probably, you know, if you haven't realized this by now, then I don't know. I know I'm personally voting for Trump this election year, but I want to speak to, I know none of them are going to watch this, but I just want to say something. Listen, there's a lot of problems, and I think that a lot of it comes back to the education system. You know, I want to speak to both Democrats and Republicans. If we want a better America with more intelligent people, people that are making more money, we need to invest into our schools, our education, because that's where it all starts. You know, I grew up, I hated school. And I think that I would have loved it if teachers, if there were better teachers, you know, better people there to educate. And I will say something. Teachers are very underpaid, which doesn't really make them want to. We had a physics teacher, and no offense to him, he's a great guy. He would be like, yeah, you know, it's snowing out. Let's watch Netflix instead of learning physics. He used to bug Isaac to
that
hell.
That was your fault, Gage, because you never came to class, and it was a tiny class.
Maybe I would have come to class fault. If I,
don't,
you know.
Don't blame. He was a great science teacher. He was fantastic. He did watch
like
a lot
him.
Of Netflix.
I like him. He's a good teacher, yeah. He's a great teacher, but.
He's great at teaching.
But he just. I just don't think there's enough. There. I just don't think, yeah, nothing against him. And if he ever hears this, you're a great teacher. You're a great guy. But I just feel that teachers would have more of an incentive to want to work harder and teach these kids. There was a great math teacher at the school once. She got fired. Why'd she get fired? No one knows. It's like the good teachers always end up getting fired.
Are you talking about the one that was your
Shut up,
sophomore?
Isaac. Shut up, Isaac.
That teacher?
Yes.
The math teacher that came in that was a woman?
Yeah, she helped me a lot.
Oh, she was... I did not like her at all, but...
Because she made the kids actually work.
I never had her in class.
Now words from our sponsor. Welcome back. This last segment was over an hour. Hold on, let me relight my cigar.
We got a little off track for a little bit there. I got a little fired up, even though this is supposed to be a relaxed episode. Sorry, Gage.
No. You know what? I think that the last conversation we had was probably the best conversation we've ever had in the history of the Mini Mumbles podcast.
Potentially. I mean, it was a little off track, but it was important.
I think this is what people want. And this is in the episode. I think people want to hear. Honest to God, like we go at this, we talk about the news, we're like, breaking news, Rudy Giuliani, is he a sex offender? It doesn't matter. You know, that stuff doesn't matter. What matters is us having a discussion like this, and I think this is productive. But moving on, so I had an opportunity to go to a Trump rally in New Hampshire, which is a state over. And I left yesterday, well, Saturday I left. Stayed a night in Portland and then went to the Trump rally on Sunday, which is, we're recording this as I got back. I got 5 hours. Isaac is a lazy bastard. I got 5 hours of sleep. I stood in line for not for 7 hours. I spent 7 hours at this Trump rally plus trying to get back, trying to leave, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm here at 10 p.m. recording a podcast with Isaac. Yeah, and I'm running on fumes here. So listen. He tells me all the time. He's like, I don't really feel like doing a podcast this week because, you know, I had to do school and stuff. Yeah, I'm a little stressed out. Yeah,
Gage, you didn't have to go to a Trump rally, Gage. That was a choice. That was recreation.
Well, anyway. So this is the first Trump rally I've ever been to. I just figured, you know what? It's the last Trump. Because once he gets, if he wins the reelection, he'll have rallies. He might even come back to back to Maine or even to New Hampshire. But it's not going to be for reelection. It's going to be just him shooting the shit like he likes to do.
Sure.
So the segment of this was, why is Trump campaigning so much? Something about the polls. And he's been doing about five of these rallies. Well, three, I over exaggeration, five was a little, I think he did five in one day, but that was like throughout Texas. He went to like five different places. He's been doing on average like two or three rallies a day. And we're like, what, 9 days away from the election?
Yeah, it's real close. But I mean, what what time is better than right now to go ahead and be rallying? It's the time that it's really close and you should be out there pushing. I mean, maybe if Biden was getting big groups of people coming to him, maybe he'd be rallying like crazy, but you know.
He had 42 people show up to one of his rallies, which I thought was funny, but so I go, you know,
yeah,
I got
if Trump it. If Trump's coming even close, it's like, holy cow, Trump is gonna be here.
I'll play some of the footage on the podcast for you guys, but I went to this rally. Doors opened at 10 a.m. I got there at 9 thinking, you know what? I'm going to be early. There was a 3-mile long line. There must have been easily 30,000 people there. I say there was about probably 12,000 that got in roughly. Obviously, these numbers I'm pulling out of my ass because looking at the crowds.
I don't think you know what 30,000 people looks like. I surely don't.
I do. It's a lot. And I'll play. Obviously, there were a lot of people standing outside, a lot of people that couldn't get in, unfortunately, but it was a good rally. You know, I've never been to one of these before. I didn't know I knew what to expect. I've seen rallies on TV, but being there is a different thing. You know, the hype was real when Air Force One came in, and it's pretty exciting. He said a lot of things, which he spent like 15 minutes talking about the plane itself and talking about how they're working on getting a new one and how it's going to be red, white, and blue. And he's talking about they wanted like $5 billion to do Air Force One and Two, the two planes. And he talked it down to $3 billion and, you know, whatever. It was a good rally overall. But, you know, rather than talking about my experience, because if I'm being honest with you, I kind of explained it a lot to Isaac. And the truth of the matter is there was a lot of hype. There was a lot of people there, a lot of enthusiastic voters. There was a lot of protesters as well. But you know, I watch the news every night and they're like, you know, oh, you know, Trump's behind in the polls. And I've heard that. I heard this more today on the bus. People lie to those poll people. They'll call and say, hey, yeah, are you voting for this? Yeah, I'm voting for Biden just to fuck with them. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to have I'm kind of on the fence. Because I think if we had a normal
election, there's a lot of chances that it's going to go either way, really. A lot of the states, maybe just percentage of people is maybe swinging more Biden because maybe states like California, everyone's obviously voting for Biden. And maybe there's more people going out and voting because it's a more, you know, fiery election.
I think that if we had normal go on a November 3rd and vote, Trump would win with a landslide. But the fact that there's 50 million ballots that are being sent out, I don't think it's going to be a fair election. I don't, because
it's too much ability to tamper.
The fact that Obama and Joe Biden can only pull 42 fucking people at a rally and Trump can pull 30. Like, I know that they really took precautions. The Democrats are with COVID. You know, they're only allowing a few people in, but come on.
We only let 12 people in. Only 12. Gotta stay safe. Everyone's at least 6 feet apart.
Could you imagine being a Democrat, getting up really early in the morning, and them only letting 12 people in? As soon as I saw, like, if I was a Democrat and there was like 20,000 people online, I'd be like, you know what? I'm leaving. The first 12 are getting in. I'm leaving. I'm not wasting my time.
No, I don't. I mean, I think him campaigning hard right now, I don't know if that's a, I wouldn't say that's necessarily a sign of him losing. I don't think that's because he feels like he's going to lose.
He's
going to be nervous about it. Anyone would be. Even if it was a clear victory for you, you'd still be nervous that you might lose.
He's just being a better better candidate.
Yeah, he's actually going out and talking to people. I think he really likes flying an Air Force One off to some place and then walking up on the stage and everyone cheering and, you know, it being crazy. I'm sure he loves doing that.
4 more years! 4 more years!
How many times are everyone freaking out when you show up?
He spent like 5 minutes talking about his hair and everyone was cheering him on.
I'm sure that's a big, big part of it. And I'm also sure that it's, you know, he wants to secure more votes. He wants to secure as many votes as he humanly can. And he probably just wants more pro-Trump energy going around.
No, he does. That's true.
That's always a good thing. So I don't think increased amount of going around and rallying, I don't that doesn't scare me. I mean, maybe it's notable, but I wouldn't say that's a sign that he's going to lose.
I want you to tell this story, Isaac, or not the story, but you were telling me about a week and a half ago. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago now.
Oh, I don't even know. I won't necessarily remember that story.
Well, no, you remember you were telling me that what you think is going to happen with the election realistically, about how he's going to lose and it's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I still agree with that. I still think that's going to... I don't think you can win fairly. I don't think there's any possibility to win when you're going against someone that's cheating.
Right.
You can't beat election fraud. Not when there's 50 million ballots that are voter ballots. And when there's trash cans full of pro-Trump ballots. And when there's vans with people who go around and buy people's ballots. That was a thing that Project Veritas released. And then people claimed it was false. And then they're suing them because they were, you know, defaming them, even though it wasn't true statements. It's probably going to be Biden wins from the mail-in ballots, and then Trump calls voter fraud, and then it probably will wind up in the Supreme Court, and then there's a big chance that it's going to be found fraud, and Biden's going to be kicked out. I would say there's a notable chance, if not significant chance, of something like that happening, and it's a really big deal, especially now that I don't think Amy Coney has she been.
Yeah, she's being confirmed.
So she will be in then.
Mm-hmm. By election.
So we have the majority in the Supreme Court. The Republicans do. I shouldn't say we. The Republicans do. So there's a good chance that if it goes there, it's going to be in Trump's favor. And who knows how that will wind up. If you're a Democrat and there's found fraud involving Biden, I mean, you're going to be upset that Trump's getting in, but think of it this way. Voter fraud's a really big deal. It's really bad. Do you really want to support someone who's actively committing fraud? And I don't think this is like a... I mean, sure, I'm treating this like it's a matter of certainty, and... it's not necessarily, but I think it's pretty
anything could happen. But yeah, right. Well, you know, I think with the whole first half of this, we really touched a lot about what we expect from the candidates, things that could be done better, and
pretty much things that could be done better.
And with this second half kind of thing, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, I really don't know. Like I said, it's going to be a very different election with the mail-ins, very different than we've ever seen before.
We're not going to know election night. I mean, we'll be live streaming.
I'm sure
there'll be numbers out, but that will be all in person mail or all in person voting that's going to get released.
Someone told me this. You got all the Democrats are doing mail-ins right now. Republicans, and that's why they have such a lead right now. On November 3rd, Republicans are going to vote.
I'm going to vote on November 3rd.
It's
going to
be pretty even. It's going to be pretty even. So I think we're going to know. But some states, though, aren't allowed to start counting the ballots until election night, which I wish they would have changed that law because, you know, they should have prepared for this. And I think... I don't know. Only time's going to tell. But I guess what I'm going to tell you guys is go vote. No matter who you're voting for, go vote because it's important.
Yeah.
It's important. This is an important election.
But definitely go vote if you're voting for Trump. And you should go vote if you're voting for
Isaac,
someone
else. You're breaking the law. Us as a media influencers, we're not allowed to tell people who to vote for.
I'm not. I'm just saying, if you're voting for Trump, I mean, you should definitely vote if you're voting for Trump, and voting for someone else, you should probably vote. I mean,
there was a female Instagram model that said, send me your vote for Biden, and she'll send you nudes in the DMs. If you vote for Trump and you send us in talkmumbles@gmail.com, Isaac will take his shirt off and we'll take some nip pics.
I don't know if that's a great idea. Gage, can we, I think I need to talk to,
No, we'd be just as bad,
Gage,
as Trump.
I think we need to talk.
But I think that's it for that side. I went to a Trump rally. That's basically it. It was a Trump rally. You know, it was awesome. The hype was real. And I think there's a bunch of conservatives that are excited to exercise their right to vote this November 3rd. And I think that we're going to see a red wave if all goes well. You know, I want to be optimistic. I want to say that this mail-in voting isn't going to affect the election that much, because realistically, how many votes did Hillary Clinton get in 2016? Like 60 million? So 50 million voter ballots going out, that really isn't that much. You know, if there's a record conservative turnout, I have a feeling that as long as the vote doesn't get split between the Libertarian, which is Joe Jorgensen.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. And that'd be really crazy if that's what happened. And I think a lot of the swing states are still really heavy swing states, and probably right. Like Pennsylvania. I don't know how Biden's going to do in Pennsylvania now, given that oil problem.
He's not going to do well amongst farmers. He won't do well amongst farmers, because something Trump has done is China is buying a lot of our what farmers are doing, growing. A lot of that's going overseas. So I don't know. Like I said, go vote, because that's important. Isaac, yeah. Yadiza.
I think we should call it there though, because it's. Hey, don't make fun of my yawn, Gage. Don't make fun of my yawn.
Yeah, I think that's it for this.
Yeah, so we're gonna end it up.
But now, word from our sponsor. And we're back to end up the episode. I'm going to cut my cigar right now. This was a pretty decent cigar. I'm going to say I enjoyed it.
Give it a what out of 10? What does it get out of 10, Gage?
I'd say a 6. It's not, I mean, I wanted to try new cigars, so I got a, I had a couple Gurkhas that I really liked, so I went and bought a Gurkha bundle pack, and I got like 16 different Gurkhas. And a lot of them have been bad. This one was okay. It's not amazing, but you know, it was good. So I would rate it probably a 6 out of 10 on election night. So let's talk quickly. Election night, Isaac and I are going to be doing a stream on Facebook and YouTube. And we may be on more platforms. I don't know at this point in time. We're sorting out the bugs. But we're going to be live from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard until the election's called.
It's a Tuesday, right?
Yeah, at least until Alaska's called, which is usually at like 2 a.m. So it's going to be... It's going to be a late stream, but we're going to do it, I think, unless Isaac leaves halfway through it. I'm going to go to bed. So it's going
to
be cool.
I have a class at 1 p.m.
Right.
On Wednesday. So as long as I can get like 6 hours of sleep, I'll be fine.
So I caught my cigar. Let's get real for a second. So this is episode 50. This is the last official recorded Midday Mumbles episode, potentially forever. So Isaac and I discussed going till 52, and I told Isaac that if we could come back in January and maybe negotiate more episodes,
you know, I'm not going to make any promises.
Yeah, don't.
But if you want to convince me, you're going to have to hit talkmumbles@gmail.com pretty hard with some, please stay on the air.
Please stay on the air. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Isaac is pretty stressed out right now, obviously, with school. I know I'm running on 5 hours of sleep and this kid can't get out of bed and go to college, but I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing. No. So yeah, we've been doing this for, it'll be a year, November 4th, which is the day after the election. Cool. Actually. So we're going to talk in January. Well, towards the end of December, early January, we're just going to have a quick discussion and see if, you know, we want to, because I mean, in a few months,
that'll be Isaac's, later on. That will be. I don't know what I'm going to do with school, honestly. Right. And I'm fine with this being a public knowledge thing. I really don't care. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to stick with engineering or if I'm going to drop engineering and go to a more local school that's for some sort of certificate degree. Because right. I mean, I want a secondary education. It's a really good idea so that you can be in a mid to higher tier paying job. I don't want to work at Wendy's.
Well, I mean, then you get a deal on the biggie back meal.
That is true. That is,
It's enticing. It's enticing.
The biggie bag is pretty sick, I'm not going to lie. But I don't know where I'm going to be in a couple months from now. Like, I don't know when the semester closes, but after this semester is over, I don't know if I'm going to be going for another semester or if I'm going to defer and think about it or if I'm going to drop and transfer or I don't know. So, everything's up in the air.
So this is the end of season one recorded. Like I had said, we're going to talk when, because I mean, Isaac's a friend of mine and I want him to get his life on track. And I know that I joke about this all the time. Podcasting is an hour a week commitment and, you know, it is what it is, but I get it. I get it. It's hard. And I have a really hard time with my schedule as it is, not with a podcast, but like my sleep schedule has been screwed up for a very long time. I'm not very productive, as productive as I used to be. And I'm kind of ashamed of it. So I think this little break will do us both good. And hopefully we can be back here. I'm not saying we're promising that, right? Because Isaac and I, maybe come January, we may want to be done with this completely.
Like, or you know, maybe, I mean, Gage, you do like podcasting. I know you've talked about using the Midday Mumbles brand and for another podcast of a different variety that doesn't include me in it because I'm the one that's kind of pulling out.
So there may
made it longer may than be. Brody though. So ha, beat you, Brody.
Yeah. So this is something that Isaac doesn't know as of yet. So I'm just gonna put this out there. People, you can I guess tell me if this is what you want, but I was kind of thinking that in between the season ending and us talking in January. I say us talking in January. We're not gonna see each other until January. No, we're just gonna like I just said that we're gonna talk, but like it's not gonna be. Are we gonna do this? There's not gonna be any like commitments.
It's not gonna be a Midday Mumbles meeting.
Right. I mean, for tax write-off purposes, possibly.
Gage, but, you and your tax write-offs.
But
I mean, Gage will go and like we'll be hanging out, and you know we'll be eating a steak at some restaurant, and he'll be like, "This is a business outing because this is Midday Mumbles group." So that's a tax write off right there. Better keep that receipt so I can write this off my taxes.
But what I was gonna say before I lose my train of thought is, I was thinking about doing mini podcasts like every week or every couple weeks, just kind of doing a little brief, you know what I mean? Until the future of this is officially set, because we do have a following somewhat. We do have a lot of people on Facebook and some of on YouTube. YouTube is actually our smallest platform. Unfortunately, I wish that was a little bit bigger, but,
if you're a Facebook person and you want the full length, I don't even know if this goes on the Facebook ones. I really don't. Full Gage length does do that stuff. I'm serious. Gage does all of it. He does a lot of work for this. Give credit to Gage.
Give me an award.
Yeah.
But so yeah, I'm thinking I might try and do some mini episodes. just to like keep content rolling, maybe like 25 minute episodes every week or something, just something a little bit smaller on my own. Maybe I have a hard time because this is the, and I know it might sound sad, but this is like the longest type of series that I've done, podcasts relate, and even anything in general, YouTube stuff. I've never committed this long. And I feel like, and I've told Isaac this, and I feel like next year could be what really pushes us. And you know, Isaac's expressed to me, he's like, oh, well, I'm not really, you know, he doesn't have a passion. This isn't something that he wants to do for a living.
I like people communicating. I like ideas getting around, and I like, and I just want to encourage that. You know, I went into this podcast because I feel like people don't talk enough, and I feel like a lot of ideas are overly ignored and subdued. And I wanted to be able to have a lot of the opinions that I hold that are a little more niche and a little less talked about, or opinions in general that aren't talked about. I just wanted to have a platform where I was putting those out there, and I was hopefully exposing people to ideas and
educating
people to conversations that I, because I think that's important. I think it's important to understand all sides of any coin. And that's kind of why I went into it. I don't love talking in front of a camera. I'm not comfortable talking into a microphone.
I think, though,
I've gotten used to it. I mean, you can go back to the original episodes right at the start of it. I was not great. And I think I've turned around a fair bit. But this isn't my natural knack. This isn't my favorite thing to do. I just thought it was something worth trying. You know? So I feel like I've fulfilled that to a degree. So there you go.
And you know, Brody, obviously, I mean, elephant in the room, Brody left a while ago. And you know, I'm not going to go into like the private details on that, but it mostly had to do with the fact that he's just not comfortable talking about sensitive conversations. Like, we have a lot of sensitive, I mean, we had an episode where we just talked about abortion.
We're talking about things that get people pissed. Like, yeah. Real pissed.
Right. So, with all this said, we're not done yet. We still have the live stream on election night. And that's going to kind of be the final farewell until what's the word I'm looking for? Until to be decided. You know what I mean? What's the fate of the Midday Mumbles podcast?
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, no, and I'm not, I just wanted to, like, just in case this was the final official episode, I just wanted people, you know, to kind of have an ending that everyone could respect. You know, Isaac is done as of right now. I'm hoping the master negotiator can swindle
that's
my
Donald
way
Trump,
into a
you.
Second season, but I can't guarantee that. So I think that's it for this episode. Thank you guys all for watching. It's been a long one. I think this is our longest episode on record.
I think we've gone 2 hours before, but I think that had a lot of interruptions in it.
Yeah. I think it was edited down, though. So
yeah.
This may be the final time you hear this, but well, first off, go vote on November 3rd.
Absolutely.
I've been Gage.
I'm Isaac.
And we'll see you guys on the flip. See you guys all see you guys all Tuesday for the live stream. Have a good one.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be right back.